19. John chapter 19. Now I ask you, give me your attention just a few minutes this morning. Please help us and listen carefully. Just for a few minutes, and I want to bring a message on a verse of scripture here that talks about the mother of Jesus. And I'm sure that in this scripture this morning, you'll see your mother, as I did, my mother. In John chapter 19, the Lord Jesus Christ was going through the most difficult time in His life as a human being, physically. He's on the cross. I don't know where Joseph was during this time. Maybe he was there, maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But it seems interesting to me that the Holy Spirit keeps mentioning His mother. When push comes to shove, I don't believe anybody, your wife, your husband, son, dog, I don't believe anybody will go with you all day further as far as your mother will. There's something about a mother's love. It's hard to get a mother to admit her kid done anything wrong. I've been amazed listening to women talk about their kids getting in with the, quote, wrong crowd. And I talked to that other mother, and she said her kid was the wrong crowd. And I talked to the mother of the other kid, she said her kid got in with the wrong crowd. They're all calling each other's kids the wrong crowd. Have you ever noticed that nobody's, according to their mother, a kid never does wrong? That's love, brother. Bible said love covers a multitude of sins. You know why they say that love is blind? Is because when a mother loves a kid so much, they don't see nothing that kid does wrong. Let somebody else do that same thing. They say, boy, they ought to put them in jail. But when their kid does, well, I tell you now, he's a good boy. And I'm not getting that. That's the way a mother's love is, and it's supposed to be. You heard about that fellow who was in the army, and his mother went down to visit him and he saw him. And she said, oh, I want to see Jim. I want to see Jim. Hadn't saw him in weeks. And here come the soldiers down through there, and they were going, hup, hup, left, right, left, you know. And here come Jim, her son, was kind of a little bit, you know, all these bricks wasn't laid straight. And he was walking down through there like Gomer Pyle, you know, trying to get in. Like that, and so getting stuck. Well, and that mother just stood there, just a grinning, white, proud of her soldier boy. And she said, oh, look, they're all out of step but Jim. Only a mother has that kind of love. Only a mother can put up with the shenanigans. I'm ringing down here, brother. Listen. And trifleries that kids give them. One time a little boy come in the house, he said, there's a lion in the backyard. And his mother said, now, hon, there is not. You quit talking like that. And he said, Mama, there is. There's a lion out there. And she said, you go up to your room right now and ask God to forgive you for lying. He went upstairs and stayed up there and cried and whined around a little bit. And he come back down and she said, now, did you ask God to forgive you for lying? And he said, yeah. She said, well, what did he say? And the little boy looked back at her and he said he thought it was a lion the first time he ever seen it too. And mothers have to put up with that stuff all the time. I like to read a verse of scripture here and just be brief this morning, give a word to our mothers where Jesus, the Bible said in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. They say that man is mighty. He governs land and sea. He wields a mighty scepter on lower powers than he. But mightier power and stronger, man, his throne has been hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. There's mothers this morning, and then again there are mothers. The Bible tells us that we're to treat the elderly women as mothers. Before I bring you a quick message, I want to tell you three things that it takes to be a good mother. Number one, a good mother must be true to God. True to God. Number two, a good mother must be true to her husband. She's got to love God and love her husband. Number three, a good mother must be true to her children. And you find a woman that is true to God, true to her husband, and true to her children, you have found something that is priceless, that is far above rubies. There's not a better thing in the world than a good woman. A man can't come close to being how right with God a woman can be most of the time. I believe the best people in the world are godly women. I believe that. I believe that with all of my... I believe this morning that if you find a woman, if your wife loves you and loves God and loves her children, according to the Bible, her price is far above rubies. You, my friend, are a rich man. Now let's think about our mothers this morning and how we ought to love and honor and respect them. You teenagers, you better not ever let me hear you call her the old lady. I'm liable if you feel like an old man. Really, I take offense at that. It bothers me. And you have no right to ever speak disrespectful of your mother. Amen? It's not cool or macho or makes you a big man. It makes you a sissified punk to talk bad about the woman that went through the jaws of death to bring you into this world. You think about your mother bringing birth to you. Think about those 9 months getting up in the morning and throwing up. Anybody in here likes to throw up? Your mother done that for weeks and weeks and weeks because of you. You'd make me sick too if you was in my stomach. And I'm sure I would you too. And I tell you what, brother, I bet a lot of times you've made them sicker since you become here, got here, than you were before you were born. You think about the months that mama carried you, got groceries, couldn't even bend over to pick up nothing. Now, like this, fall on the floor and couldn't get up. Somebody, roly-poly, somebody had to come and help them, hook a rope to them, a jack or something, and get them back up on their feet. But, you know, I've seen a lot of women, we've had ladies right here in our church, I believe Sister Kelly one time, sat up in a lawn chair for a little while, and a few weeks in services. Sometimes they'll go and have problems, and the doctor will say, "You lay down and don't you get up for 8 weeks." So they won't lose the baby. And the girl has to lay in bed for 2 solid months. You know why? She's worried about that child. It's not even born yet and she loves it. It's not even born yet and she cares about it. That is a natural, born, built-in instinct for as a mother's love. One time there was this tall, bald-shouldered, strong young man. And he noticed every time he'd get in the crowd and they would talk about their mother, the other guy, he would get quiet and look down. And somebody finally asked him one time about his mother. And he told about that during his childbirth that his mother didn't make it and she died. And he always said, "My mother died that I could live." And I'll tell you what, brother, I don't believe that there is a person in here who would disagree with me, every one of us. If push come to shove, if it came down between mama and you, many and most of your mothers here this morning would say, "Take me, God, and let my boy or my girl live." Then you think about raising us. They fed us. They clothed us over and over and over and over, day in, day out. Their pins were chained. They didn't have any plans because they said, no, I've got to stay here and take care of my children. Other girls would be saying, let's ride up on the mountain and take a picnic. But she'd say, no, I'm staying here and taking care of my children. You know, years ago in America, women used to raise their own kids. And they lived with them when they were little. And lived with them until they went to school. And brother, it created a bond between a man or a woman and their mother that nothing, the devil, the world, the flesh, all kinds of sin could never sever or break that bond between a man or a woman and their mother. You think about all the many nights that your mother set up, would give $100 to go to sleep, but she's sitting there rocking you. Boy, you don't remember it, but I'll guarantee you it happened. I know I still got one in diapers over here this morning. And boy, I know, we just took her bottle away not long ago. And I said, Corey, bye-bye, gone bye-bye. And she didn't like it. And the next night I said, it was on a Monday night. And I told him I'd been preaching revival. I didn't have to preach the next week. I said, Monday, bye-bye is going bye-bye. And so Monday morning or Monday evening, the bye-bye went bye-bye. And guess what? She didn't want to go to sleep. And I felt sorry for her, but I made up my mind that she was not getting that bottle back. Now, some of you men, well, I know how you do. They wake up crying for it in the middle of the night, and you say, give it to them, anything, Phil, shut up! And you wind up giving it back to them 15 times. After you took it away, that ain't the way to do it. That ain't the way to do it. Never give them nothing they cry for. That's what Susanna Wesley said. Never give a kid nothing it cries for. I mean, you know, unless it's, you know, about to die, you run over the car or something, but pick it up. But I mean, if they get the idea that anything they cry for, they're going to get you, ruin them. They're going to cry to the government one of these days. They're going to cry to the police. They're going to cry to God, and it don't work like that. So I said, bye-bye, bye-bye. And the bye-bye, bye-bye. And it's gone. Been gone a few weeks now. But I kind of compromised in other ways. Instead of putting her to bed, we usually put her to bed at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, in your bed, out those the lights. And she'd lay down and take her baba, and she'd be gone. Just the best little thing you ever seen in your life. But, you know, without the baba, you put her in her bed, and she don't even lay down. She grabs hold of the rails and goes, and I just didn't have a heart, man. I didn't have a heart to turn that light out and close that door with her. Look at it. I just seemed sadistic. I mean, I believe in discipline, but that just seemed mean. So you know what I'll end up doing, don't you? In the den, a rocking. And I said, honey, go night night. Jesus. I'd make up songs, you know. I start patting her on the back. I'd pat her on the back. And she'd turn over. Pat her on the belly. She'd get real still. I think, oh, glory to God, she's almost gone. Hallelujah. And she'd get down and run around the floor a few times. I'd let her lay there and I said, Lord, I'm sleepy. I got to get up in the morning. Come here, honey. Get her back up there. Here I'd go again. We went that a few nights. I don't know how it was the last two nights where the girls been keeping them, babysitting them, but my turn come again tonight, I reckon. But I thought about that. You think of the times your mama. Now, I want to tell you something right here in all sincerity. Do you complain about your mother's ailments? Oh, I don't want to go over there, Mama. She's always, her back's hurting, and her neck's hurting, and her legs are hurting, and she's always something wrong with her. You just remember, there was a time when you run through the house all day, say, Mama, I've got hurt. Mama, you done her the very same way she's doing you one time, and she didn't not come see you. Because you complaining all the time. This morning, Carissa said, Daddy! I said, what, honey? What'd you do? She said, I said, what? She said, I said, what did you do? She said, that was just this morning. And I bought her a little old lounge chair, one of them, you know, you fold up like that the other day at Walmart. And I give it to her, and she'd You know, you had to do them things. She got her a hand in them little things there where it pinched it. And she's pointing at that thing. Wasn't hurt a bit more than nothing. It wasn't. But you have to act like it's hurt. And that's where a man has a hard time with raising kids. It's because a man just looks at it and says, oh, you're all right. That's what I want to do. But I have to go against my nature because the woman said, well, it's all right. Now, nobody can do that like mama. When a kid gets hurt, you know what it wants? It wants mama. So before you start fussing about mama complaining, you just remember you used to complain a little bit yourself. You ran to her with every little scratch you got on you. You say, oh, mother, you're childish. Oh. I don't guess you were ever childish, were you? You have no patience with her to walk across the street because she walks so slow. I'll bet you there was a time when she had to take slow steps to keep up with you, you little brat. Amen? I mean, you think little old bitty baby, your mama took time with you. She even carried you around in the store. Listen, I believe that you ought to return that favor now when you're grown and be patient with her. And I want to say this too, and I'm not trying to be controversial this morning. I'm not trying to hurt anybody or anything like that, but I'm sincere. I've always blessed. I know there are times when it's necessary that a person needs to be and ought to be confined and they're taken care of in a hospital or a convalescent center or something like that. And sometimes it is necessary, but there's something that bothers me about the way Americans these days, as soon as their mom and daddy are retired, they just stick them off somewhere and won't even take care of them. Something ain't right about that type of philosophy we got in America today. And please don't take that wrong. There are situations where it needs to be done. The situations where the mother or dad is better off in a home. And I understand that. And I may face that myself one day. But I believe that we should never give our mothers, or especially our mothers or dads, either one, the feeling that we ain't got time to fool with you because you're old and we don't want to be bothered with you. We want to have our friends over and party and live our life. I don't believe God is pleased. He's pushing mama aside. Just because she don't fit in your plans like you think she should. She stuck by us and loved us. Who can tell a mother's love? I've heard stories of little old gray-headed women standing right by the executioner's sword when all Lincoln buddies was gone and all his partying friends had disappeared and they were getting ready to strap a man in an electric chair. They'd look around and say, his mother stood beside him. Unwavering love, unselfish, asking for nothing in return. If we fail, she still loves us. Miraculous mother's love. Teacher asked a little boy one time at school, she said, answer me this question. She said, there's 10 children. Or there's 10 people in your family. 8 kids, mom and daddy. There's 10 of you. And your mama makes a pie. And they were studying fractions. And she said, how big of a piece of pie would you get? And he said, 1/9. And she said, now wait a minute. Now think, James. You're not answering the question right. There's 10 people in your family. And your mother makes a pie. And you all sit down to eat. How big would your piece be? And he said, 1/9. She said, no, that's the wrong answer. And he said, no, it's the right answer. And she said, why? And he said, because mama would say she didn't want any. And I thought about that over and over and over and over and over. And I thought about the hundreds of times I saw mama do that. I saw my mama say, I don't want anything. You just go ahead. And I know deep down she did want it. You think about the times your mother has been without so that you could have something. Many people you're going to find treat you like that. That's why you ought to honor them. You know, I go all off preaching. Here was Jesus dying on the cross. And everybody said, looky there, on a hill far away, Son of God, dying for sinners. But what the world didn't see was that little woman standing there behind the cross. And I've been off preaching, you know, and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. As much as I can go, I go.
and probably a lot more than I can sometimes. And this week, you know, I've probably driven, I don't know, over 1,000 miles, I guess, just to preach. And everywhere I go, people come up to me and they say, "Now you pastor church, and you do this, and you do that, and then you still go every night and preach somewhere else." And they say, "How do you do it?" And you know what I tell them every time? You know what I tell them. You people that go here to church know what I tell them. I tell them I couldn't do it if it wasn't for my mother. And everybody gets up and they say, "Oh, let's take up a love offering for Brother Danny." And people come up to me and say, "Oh, you're just the best thing we've heard in a long time. We just love your preaching." And somebody else come up and say, "My son got saved tonight. Oh, Brother Danny, I'm forever indebted to you." And last night one lady said, "Oh, it's just so wonderful. My daughter came to the altar and stuff like that, you know." And I think, hey, I couldn't be here. Your son wouldn't have got saved. I wouldn't even be saved. I wouldn't even be a preacher if it wasn't for that mama that I've got back at home. Never see a picture on a revival poster. Nobody ever says anything about her much. Folks, y'all know me. Y'all know my situation. Everybody here knows. Everybody in McDowell County knows. There ain't no... I'm saying this again on the Lord and my mama this morning. There ain't no way in the world that I could keep going like I've went without mom. Thank God for her. There ain't no way! There ain't no way! And I know she thinks I'm a don't appreciate her and all that, but I do that to keep her on her toes. Don't want to get the big head. But I tell you this morning, she knows. And I'll tell you something else. Y'all know it too. There's no use to acting like you don't. There ain't no way. There's no way. And some of you could say the same thing. You can look back to a hard time in your life. Maybe when your home burned. Or maybe when you lost your job. Or maybe when you got laid off. And you didn't have a bite to eat in the house. And couldn't pay the bill. You know, as long as mama's alive, that you or the kids won't ever have to go without. They worried about you. Nobody worry about you like your mama does. They pray for you. Santa Wesley had 17 children. She spent 1 hour a day praying for her kids. Some of you got one kid and ain't got time to pray an hour. She got 17 children, and two of her boys shook continents and brought revival to England while France nearby was having a revolution. Dr. C.I. Scofield, listen. I think he was a drunken lawyer, and his mama prayed for him, and mama prayed for him. And they told him years later how his mama had prayed for him after he got saved and started preaching. John Quincy Adams said, "All that I am, my mother made me." And Abraham Lincoln said the same thing. And D.L. Moody said, "All that I ever am or have ever accomplished, I owe to my mother." D.L. Moody said that. In closing this morning, I want to say this. A lady said one time when she was 10 years old, her mother was sick. And her mother didn't do it much, but her mom was real sick, and she asked her to get up and cook. And she wouldn't and refused. So her mother, sick, had to get up and do it. And not long after that, her mama died. And of course, she lived with that the rest of her life, thinking of her sick mother having to get up and cook, and she's too sorry to do it. And you can turn out like that, or you can be like this other fellow I read about who went for 30 years and told his mother good night and he loved her every day and stuff like that. And when he was out of town, he wrote her a letter every day. You see, you don't realize how you appreciate them until they're gone. And that's why the song, the poem says, "Have a smile for mom, give it now. Have a kind word, speak it now.
She'll not need it when angels greet her at the golden gate. Give her smiles while she's living. If you wait, it'll be too late. And so I hope today that you'll let the love of God get in you strong enough to be an extra special blessing to your mother. Let's stand and bow our heads. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, Christians are praying. I want to ask you something. You need to get something right with your mama? Did you sass her? Talk to her like she's a dog? You better get that thing straight between you and the Lord. Let's just sing a couple of verses of some song this morning. And I want you to slit in your heart. Maybe your mother don't live around here and you need to call her long distance. Make her day special. Tell her you love her. Tell her you appreciate her putting up with you. And not be ashamed of it. Get right up in public and say it. Dear God in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you for mamas. Lord, as most of us in here this morning wouldn't even be saved if it wasn't for our mom. Oh, dear God, mercy on us this morning. Oh, dear God, have mercy on us. Help us to make this day a special day for our mothers. And help us just to know a little bit of the love that they have for us. And let us return it back to them today. Hallelujah. Help us to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing two verses of this old song this morning. Let's just think about mamas. I know a lot of you, I see you wiping tears. And I know what's going through some of you's minds. Some of you, mama's gone. But some of you are just thinking about her. And I don't know, you just do whatever you feel led of the Lord to do. If you want to come and pray, you come and pray. If not, we'll just sing and make this day special for moms, okay? All right. Sing it.
I've wandered far away from God.
You need to come get right with the Lord this morning. You ought to just come on.
I'm coming home.
Amen.
The paths of sin.
Amen.
Too long I've trod.
Sing it.
Lord, I'm coming home.
All right, everybody sing now. Thing. Won't you come? You need to come. Come on this morning. Got something you need to get it right? Do it now. Heads while these are still praying. Thank God. Thank God for these that have come, made things right. Amen. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts this morning. Help us, everyone, to appreciate our mothers like we never have before. Lord, we know it's not like some people in the world think it is, even some preachers and churches. Lord, we know it's not dishonoring to you. We know it's not sissy.
Lord, we know that Jesus on the cross looked down and told John, "Behold thy mother," and took care of her even while he was on the cross and made her to go stay with John. Hallelujah. Help us to follow his example. Look out after Mama. Make sure she's taken care of. Have your will and way in our hearts and lives. Bless these on the altar. Give each one of these mothers a real, real special day. We'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.